come to you. We are coming to you because you alone have the words of life. We have come for life. You are the giver of life. Your word says, he who has the Son has life. The enemy comes determined every moment of every day, seeing how he can steal, kill, or destroy. But you come to give us life. And your words are spirit, and they are life. I pray the anointing would rest upon all of us. For me to teach, and all of us to learn. Help us not to lean on our own understanding, but on to you, to your spirit who is the teacher, to the anointing that teaches, the anointing that breaks yokes and set captives free. Help us as we hear the word to see better, hear better, walk better, live better, experience more liberty and freedom. For that's why you came. Speak to us, Lord, and work in us. By faith, we surrender ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, into thy hands, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 As we are winding up the year, remember we began 50 Sundays back. And the call of God was to turn. If we turn, that's repent, he will revive. And as he revives, we have to learn to resist the thief. He comes for one purpose. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Like I said, 7 days, we'll be at Christmas. And why did he come? Luke 9 and 10 gives us one reason. Oh, 19:10. For this reason, the Son of Man came to seek to save that which was lost. Which was lost, okay? Unless we hear the preaching of the gospel. Like if you go to these big malls, which you should not go, because before the fall comes the mall. So, but if you go to a mall, and if you got little kids with you, and if you get so caught up with the things which you don't need, which is displayed on the windows, your little one may just walk away. And then suddenly you realize your little one is not there. But the little one is busily walking around. Okay. Until that one realizes, or somebody realizes, or you go and get an announcement made that my little one is lost. Okay. The first portion of salvation is that, to know that you are lost. If you do not know you are lost, you cannot be saved. Cannot be saved. Okay. So saving is the second. Child is merrily walking around. But the parents are looking. Remember Jesus at 12? Parents panicking. 3 days they couldn't find him. And then they are saying, how could you do this to us? But he was not lost. But the parents thought he was lost. And a lot of people are there in the world, sitting in churches. They are not aware they are lost. They are not aware they are lost. And we shouldn't wait for the last day of your life and then death comes in and realize we were lost. Like the rich man. That was too late. So please remember what Christmas is all about. The Son of Man has come to seek to save that which was lost. The pastors who come here when we called for the pastors' conference, I was seeing one of them yesterday. On his WhatsApp status, standing on the street corner with his microphone, inviting people to Jesus. It's the old time, okay? That's how they used to do it. I was saying, wow, they are standing fearlessly and standing on street corners and talking, lifting Jesus up and why Jesus came and calling people, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Okay. That's why he came, to seek to save the lost. John 3:16 says, God gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came so that we would have not this normal life, but life that is everlasting. 3:17 says, he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. The world here means people, okay, not the system. So the Son of Man came not to condemn, but to save. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but the Son of Man came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We had to be ransomed. We were all slaves. And there was a slave driver, the owner, and we had to be bought back from him. Okay, the creator, the actual owner, had to buy it back from him with his precious blood. 1 John 3:5 says, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin. He was manifested to take away our sins. Okay. So I've already given you 6 reasons why he came. And the 7th one, 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Keep that in mind. The reason he came was to destroy the works of the devil. He came to set us free. In 1 Corinthians 15:56-57, this is how it puts why we need to be ransomed, why we needed to be saved. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. You know, you just recapping things you have heard over the year before we get into today's message. There are 3 things here. First is the law. Where there is no law, there is no sin. You go drive at midnight, the traffic lights are off, you can drive through. The law has been put off. But even if you drive at midnight, the light shows red, stop. Okay? Because if there has to be sin, there has to be law. Because the strength of sin is the law. And when you break sin, what comes is death. Okay, that's how it works. Law, sin, death. Only one law given. Do not eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Broke it, sin came in, death came in. And then along with that knowledge came all kinds of sin. So all kinds of law had to come. And law kept on increasing. Have you noticed that laws are increasing, not decreasing? Yeah. There are more laws today than ever in human history. Especially after internet came. All the cyber laws. Okay, cyber laws. But every time we gather, thanks be to God. What are we doing actually? It's a celebration worship service. What are we thanking God? Because thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ. How do we get that victory? What is Christmas? Christmas is one birthday which is different from every birthday. That is the birthday of a baby that was born to die. And God says, you can celebrate the death of my son. Can celebrate the death of my son. The birth of my son. We can celebrate it all. That's why I like the English translation better than our regional translation. In my mother tongue, it's called Dukkavelliyaazhcha, means mourning, sad Friday. But in English, it's Good Friday. It's a good Friday. Good that he came. Good that he died for me. It's good for me. Okay. So we saw that. Law, sin, death. And what did Jesus do? How did he set us free? How did he set us free? And how is he still setting us free? It's a continuous process. He set us free. He's setting us free. In Matthew 5 and verse 17, do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So how did he set us free? One, he fulfilled the law. He kept it perfect. What was impossible for any man, God kept the law through his son. God first kept the law for all of us. He kept it. Two, on the cross, he took the punishment for all of us who broke the law. He did two things with the law. One, he kept the law, which we can't. It's not impossible to keep the law because you have to keep every facet of the law. You cannot even break one. So he kept it all. Two, we who broke the law, he took the punishment for us. Galatians 3:13 will say, cursed. Christ has redeemed from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Okay. First he fulfilled the law, kept it perfectly, and he was without sin. And then when he hung on the cross, our sin was put on him, and he became the cursed one, and we were set free. And what actually happened in the spiritual realm is written in Colossians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What is that? The law. What he did was that he took the law and nailed it to the cross. I have kept the law. It is taken out of the way. And in that, he disarmed the principalities, the powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Because if you do, you have to understand what it means. If there is no law, there is no sin. If there is no sin, enemy has no hold over anybody. For the enemy, Satan cannot come into the garden and say anything to Adam and Eve unless God has said one thing, don't do. Don't do. God has said one thing, don't do. And that is what he came after. So once the law is removed, sin is removed. Sin is removed, what has happened is the enemy has no power. So God now invites everybody to come to Christ Jesus. Okay. The only way the law will be free from the law is when we look unto Jesus, believe what he did for us. We repent, we turn, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you are saved. What are you saved from? You are saved from the penalty of sin. How am I saved? The law is taken away. He's kept the law, he's taken the penalty. The law does not work on us anymore. And then he says, those who have believed that way, he says, my just, that is those who have been justified, shall live by faith. So there's only one way to live. One way to live. So everyone who believed and got saved, first, positionally, was set apart. Set apart for God. Set apart. Functionally, we are being cleaned out. And our struggle is this. Today we are looking at John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now in that second part, that is where the struggle comes. Each one sitting here is free from the penalty of sin. If you have believed, you are free. What you are struggling with is the power of sin. The power of sin. That is our struggle. And suddenly we will realize, I have enemies within, I have enemies without, inside and outside. God calls it sanctification. But in the process, we will say, suddenly realize it is a battle. Either we lose or we win. But Bible says, thanks be to God. Why? Because he has given us victory through Christ Jesus. If we believe by faith, he says, Christ Jesus will take us in triumph in every time, every place. Okay. Thing is that we need to believe. Because we have inside and outside. We have the self inside. And we also may have the demonic inside. And we have the demonic outside. Demonic outside. The most emphatic statement about Jesus' ministry is given in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Can you turn that screen towards me? 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. All who was oppressed. There is an oppression people face in the body in terms of sickness. Not all sickness, but many sicknesses have spiritual roots. And there is an oppression you face in your soul, in your mind. Oppression you face. Okay. And what did God do? God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Okay. This is where you have to go to the last part. Every day learn to fight. Resist. The Bible says resist. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. He won't leave you. He will come after you. But our job is to fight. Okay? Our job is to fight. Please understand the enemy's kingdom, the devil's kingdom. Enemy has an elaborate kingdom. Ephesians 6:12. It's an invisible kingdom, but it's a very real kingdom. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Very elaborate, very detailed, intricate, like a spider's web he has in the heavenlies. And at the lowest level, we call the sipois, the foot soldiers. Okay, these are officers. The foot soldiers are the demons. Are the demons. There's always a confusion between the fallen angels and the demons. They are not the same. They are not the same. Okay? If you read the Bible, you will see angels seems to have form and body. They seems to have wings. Okay, they seems to have, the body nature is different from ours. We are made of matter. They are made of non-corporeal matter. It's a very scientific term. You don't understand it. Ask Pastor Vijay. He will try to scientifically explain to you. Okay. I will use literature. He will use physics. Okay. But demons are different. Demons are different. If you look the distinction we saw, where are they? They are in the heavenly places. The fallen angels are in the heavenly, their realm is different. We call it the second heaven. Okay. In Jude 6, Jude has only one chapter. Jude is this thing, okay? Not 16, Jude 6. I gave you 16, I'm sorry. Okay, Jude 6. The Bible talks about the angels who did not keep their proper domain. What was their proper domain? Was to be in the heavenlies. This is talking about probably about Genesis 6, where they stepped down from their domain, took human form and created a race which God had to destroy. But left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Okay. Okay, so that's their domain. If you come to Revelation 12, something that is going to happen probably sooner than we expect. Okay, it's going to happen very soon. Something is going to happen. War broke out where? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. There's going to be a war in heaven very soon. There's going to be a war in heaven. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. That's when Satan and his angels will be cast down to earth. And the Bible says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because Satan has come with great wrath, because he knows his time is very little. Very, he knows. Then you can measure time. He's got only this much time. Woe unto anybody who is living on earth at that time. Because the whole spiritual warfare, everything will change. So the fallen angels live in another realm. Basically, they intervene in all the affairs like the other angels do, but they live in the second realm. But demons, on the other hand, don't have bodies. They live on earth. And they're always trying to get a body they can occupy. Okay? And all pagan religions have actually worshipped demons. Okay, demons. That's why you will see down to the little gully level, there are demons. And they keep changing. And they worship, and the demon does stuff for them. So that is what we are talking about, the demonic. When you are saying somebody is demonized or demon possessed or whatever, it is not a fallen angel. It's not a fallen angel. It's a demon. Understand the distinction. Fallen angels, for them to come from that level and enter into a human body is a humiliation. It's a humiliation because they were created. Okay. Who is man that you have made him lower than the angels? But the demons are always looking to see whether they can get into our body, our thought life. They can attach to ideas. The ideas suddenly have power and you don't realize, why are you thinking this way? Okay, because they don't have bodies. They can be attached. So be very careful. And all pagan religions down the centuries have ultimately served these demons. So, in Mark chapter 12, remember, a couple of weeks back we saw, 43 to 45, when an unclean, they are called unclean spirits, okay, unclean spirits, goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. Okay, so he calls our bodies his house. His house. He says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept and put in order. Then he goes out and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be also with this wicked generation. So you realize this is what we call demonization. Okay. Now these are not fallen angels. These are demons. Okay. Now, to make it very, very simple, in medical terminology, you have something called the host. Okay. Why do we deworm our children? Because the child is the host. And the ones they are hosting in their stomach, who's eating away all their nutrients, are the worms. Okay? So the person is the host. Okay, germs, all these things which we are talking about, basically our body is the host. We understand it medically, and these things are parasites who have got in and they are eating away. Okay, you take your child, doctor, my child eats so well but never gains weight. And then tests are done and it says, oh, your child has to be dewormed. Okay, what happened? Everything that you bought from the supermarket, cooked it well and ate, somebody else was eating it away from inside. Okay, so we understand this term, host. Okay, medical terminology. So you need to realize the word Beelzebub or Beelzebub means Lord of the flies. Okay, Lord of the flies. You see dead animals, usually you see flies all over them. Then after some time, maggots, what do? They eat the host up. Okay? So Satan is called the Lord and these demons are the flies. So God says there is only two ways you can handle them. If they are inside, expel them. If they are outside, resist them. Okay? If they are inside, expel them. If they are outside, resist them. Okay. The ministry of Jesus Christ is the New Testament pattern. If you go to Mark chapter 1, 27 and 28. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? What new doctrine is this? With authority he commands, and even the unclean spirits, they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. And verse 39 says, he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Casting out demons. This is how Jesus did his ministry. Okay. Now please understand, Jesus did so many miracles. We are fascinated by all his miracles he did, like healing. Provision, he provided 5,000 plus, 4,000 plus, all those things were irrelevant. He just made 5 loaves, multiplied the healing, miracles of provision, water into wine, dealing with nature, the storm, walking of water, then raising of the dead, all these things he did. You need to realize, all this was there in the Old Testament. And some of the Old Testament prophets did it in bigger scale than Jesus. You look at the miracles of Moses. Or Joshua stopping the sun. Or Elijah raising the dead. Elisha raising the dead. Elijah multiplying food. Or the healings. All these things that took place. Just all there in the Old Testament. Except one thing. What set him apart was that. How he cast out demons. That nobody in the Old Testament did. And Jesus made that the hallmark of his ministry, and this is how we put it in Matthew 12 verse 28. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus put across the preaching of the gospel has the clash of kingdoms. And he said, the kingdom of God has been advancing from the time of John the Baptist. And it advances with violence. And violent men, women, children, take it by force. What is that? You want the kingdom to advance in you. Immediately you will see there is resistance. And you will have to deal with the demonic. You will have to deal with the demonic. Otherwise the kingdom is not going to grow in you. Or the kingdom is not going to advance outward. It is not. Because the enemy will fight with everything that it has to be a consistent. That's what we call. We are called to battle. We are in spiritual warfare. Don't ever go to sleep. Not in church, but spiritually. Because before you know, he will push back. He will push back. We see all the patterns in the Old Testament and we see. Okay, so the ultimate purpose of salvation. Okay, what is the result of salvation? Is liberty. Is freedom. Okay. He set us free from the penalty of sin. The Bible says, as many as who received him, what did he give them? He gave them the authority, the right to be the children of God. What is the characteristic of the children of God? They are free. They are free. They have liberty. The demonic, they know how to fight. They know when Elsa was praying today, she was quoting from Luke 10:19 and from Romans 19:20. What is that? You have anointed us to trample upon snakes and scorpions. The God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. That is liberty. You have fought, not only that, you have resisted, he has fled, you have overcome. Thanks be to God. The Bible says, thanks be to God. Can I have 2 Corinthians 2:14 also on scripture? And then we go to what he does. Okay. Thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God. Everywhere, thanks be to God. Who always, if you understand, and if you daily awake, walk under the anointing, learn to how to live by faith and fight this good fight of faith. He always leads what? In triumph. In Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Okay? That's the reason. What's the whole purpose? The world has to see us in the midst of all the calamities and the trials and testing walking free. Walking free. Okay? Walking in liberty. Walking in freedom. John 8:32, Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The next verse which I gave, he says, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay, so there is the truth. There is Jesus. The truth is there. But how do I appropriate the truth? By looking at what Jesus has done. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, what he has done, by the word of their testimony. And when it comes to their life, they did not love their lives even unto death. That's how Satan is overcome. There is the way, the method, and the attitude. But the one who works it in and through us is the Spirit of God. So Corinthians 3, 16 and 17 will say, 17 and 18 will say, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with unveiled faces. What is unveiled faces? If we turn to God, if we turn to Christ, if we turn to the Holy Spirit, the veil is lifted. We start understanding scripture. We start the scripture. The word becomes life. And what do we move? We are beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. Where do we see it reflected in us? What is the glory of God? God is the only person in the universe who is absolutely free. He's absolutely free. God is the only entity in this entire universe who's absolutely free. And God says, I am calling my children to my liberty. To my liberty. My freedom. That's why I sent my Son. And when we look to the Lord with unveiled faces, we are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why I said, if you look at Jesus, that's why you have to study the life of Jesus very closely revealed in the scriptures. You will never see him ever meeting a situation which he couldn't handle by faith. Never. Never. He was the only man who walked on earth 24/7 free. He was free. He walked absolutely free. So he is the pattern. He is the pattern. That is why once we are saved, we come into the house of God so that we learn how to walk in liberty, how to walk in freedom, so that through us, God can diffuse the knowledge of God through us. And we will see at the end of the message, how does he do it in real life? We will see what really happens over there. Now the thing is that we can never experience liberty. Liberty. Unless we surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. In John 8, 34 and 35, this is what God said. Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Okay. Now you are a son, you are a daughter. But you don't experience the liberty of the son or the servant. You feel like a servant. You don't experience the liberty of the son. Okay? Remember the prodigal son? He took his inheritance, he went. And he went and he went and he went. He thought he was having a blast. But every step he was going deeper and deeper in rebellion, in sin. Finally, at the end of it, he lost all his money, all his wealth, all his friends. Famine came. He sold himself to a man to work. He's in the pig pen. Then when he comes to his senses, this is what he says. I will go back to my father's house. And what will I tell him? Hire me as a? As a? I go to my father's house, but I am a servant. I'm not a son. He's lost his ability to be a son because he's lost his liberty. And there are a lot of people who sit in churches who have lost their liberty. They are sons, they are daughters, but they don't feel like they are the sons or daughters. It's because they feel, I've lost my freedom. But the first thing when he comes back home, the first thing the father does is give him back his sonship. Once a son, always a son. You are always a son. But you will only know your liberty when you come back. Come back to the father. Come back to the father's house. And he restores. What is that? The sonship. And he says, stay with me now. Abide with me. So this is what we face. Because what takes away our freedom? Sin takes away our freedom. And the entire purpose of the demonic, the entire purpose of the demonic is to enslave us. After, we are talking not to people who are saved. People who are saved. People who are not saved are slaves. They don't know they are slaves. They are not slaves. They don't know they are slaves. But those who are saved, what is the entire demonic is to pull us back into slavery. Now when we are talking about the demonic, please remember, the demonic has a very good helper inside. When Adam fell, the old nature, that's with the Adamic nature, that's what I said, the nature in us, the old man, you may be 12 years old, 12, right? 13 years old, yeah? 13 years old. But that old person in her is 6,000 years old. See, everybody sitting here is 6,000 years old. Your hair may be black, but you're all 6,000 years old. The old person, that Adamic nature is 6,000 years old, the old nature. And the problem is, with time, he doesn't improve. He becomes worse. With time, he becomes worse and worse and worse and worse. And Galatians 5, 19 and 20 gives just a random list. Not a random, but a selective. All the list is not given there. This is what. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambition, dissensions, heresies, and continues. 21. So many other. What are these? These are the works of the flesh. Now please understand, the works of the flesh and the demonic are very closely related. Very closely related. Okay? Very closely related. And we will look at it, things which you have learned before, but I want you to end the year well. Because God's desire for all His children is to walk in liberty. For this reason, the Son of Man came, that He may destroy the works of the devil. He's paid the price. Nobody has to walk in slavery anymore. You have been redeemed. You are a son. You are a daughter. You don't have to live like a slave. You don't have to. And God has shown us the ways how we move from liberty to liberty, freedom to freedom as God's children. Okay, so we understand how it operates. If you go to James chapter 1, 12, and we read from 14, okay. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Remember in James 1, 2, it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you go through trials of various kinds. There it is talking about trials. Here it is talking about temptations. Okay. Blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation, for when he or she has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So basically God is saying, as you endure temptation, what is the purpose of temptation? To cause you to sin. As you endure temptation, you overcome temptation, you will experience the life of God more and more. Ultimately, God will give you the crown of life. For those who come through, this system has overcome us. Okay? But every time you endure temptation, you experience His life more. You experience more liberty. You experience more freedom. I'm honestly, try doing it tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 18th of December. And say, Lord, I want to experiment what Pastor said. Help me, Lord, from the time I wake up till I go to sleep to overcome sin. You will realize the liberty you experience, the freedom, and the joy, the thrill that actually one a day, I can actually experience freedom. And when you practice this, it becomes more and more and more. Okay? But that is what the devil does not want. So if you go over there, now first thing God says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. He may allow temptation. He may allow, meaning I may open the door, he doesn't come and shut it. He may allow it. Okay, he may allow it. But God is not tempted by evil. And in himself never tempts anybody. And verse 14 and 15 is the classic definition of how it works and how the enemy works. Okay? Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own desires. His own desires. Okay? and is enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This is where it begins. This is one. One is desire. Two is drawn. Third is enticed. Fourth is conceived. Fifth is it gives birth. Sixth is it becomes sin. Seventh, it is full grown. And eighth step is death. Death. There are eight steps to death. Eight steps to death. And always, I'm not teaching on that. If you want to learn about that, it is the second day of the pastor's conference in Kharagpur. It is there in English and Hindi, where I told you the first step is the best step. How you handle that. Now the first step is this. This is desire. There's nothing wrong with desires. Every desire in you is God put there by God. Every desire. Only what happened is when man fell, Adam fell, all those desires got corrupted. Per se, if you take aside any desire, take, when people say, what about anger? I said, God is angry at the wicked all day, so anger is wrong. Oh, Pastor, what about hatred? He said, Jesus loved righteousness and hated evil. Is hatred wrong? Jealousy. The Spirit of God envies for us intensely when we go into the world. Every one of this in its right context is right. What the devil tries to do through temptation, because if there is no desire, there can be no temptation. For temptation to work, there has to be a desire. What he tries to do with this desire is tempt you to bring out of God's boundaries. That's what he does. Okay? That's what he is trying to do. But the desires are all originally given by God. Okay. So what he tries to do is that take this desire, tempt you with that desire, and try to draw you. Once he is drawn away, he is enticed. Once you are enticed, the demonic begins. The demonic begins. You are enticed. That means you are losing control now. So there is the flesh. So don't confuse between these two. There is the flesh and there is the demonic. And they work closely. They work closely. So if you don't, and this is where you need discernment of your own life. Okay. Because the solution to the flesh, if it's your flesh that is giving you trouble, the solution is crucify your flesh. If it's a demonic that is giving you trouble, expel the demon. You can't crucify the demon. And you cannot expel the flesh. Cannot. Cannot. So that's where, in medical science also, we know the radiologists and all of them know basically what is it? A diagnosis. The diagnosis. Is it my flesh? Or is it gone beyond that? Is now the demonic pulling me down? Okay. Because that is what they do. They want to entice you. They want to entice you. What does the enemy, what are his different ways in which he does a list? Which I got from, of course, DP. Entices. He enslaves. He torments. The demons. They compel you. They defile you. They harass you. Once a demonic begins. Okay. What is the objective of the demon? Demon or the demonic? Remember, we are the host. They are the pest. He wants to get into our bodies and live his desires out through the body. They don't have a body. Angels have bodies. They don't have a body. And because they don't have a body, but they have desires, they need a body. They need a body. Okay, they need a body to live through. So they are always looking for bodies. But they cannot get into the body until they have enticed. Okay. So the first thing they are looking for is a body to live through. Second thing they are trying to do is to see that you never get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because He is the only one they fear. If you have dealt with people who have been in the occult, try to tell them to confess the name of Jesus, they will not. Confess the blood of Jesus, they won't. They won't. And it is not them, it is another voice that will fight that. No. 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 Okay. So what is the purpose of the demonic one? To live through your body so they can live their life through your body, their desires, whatever it is. Okay, remember that fellow who was sent out, he went for dry places. When he came back, he found it clean and empty. He went and brought seven others. Now his condition is worse, because earlier he only struggled with one demonic enticement. Now eight are there. His condition is worse. Okay. So the first thing is to live through our bodies. Second is that we do not know Christ as our Savior. Okay, and that is the battle. If you remember Pastor Vijay's illustration about that one man, Lone Star, how prayer broke the barrier, and by the end of the year or that day, they had 2,222 baptisms. What broke it? Because the demonic was broken. The power over the demonic, over the people where they could not see the gospel, was broken. So we write, the blind falls fall. The enemy has blinded. Unless a demonic is broken, we will not see. We will not see. Okay. It's a reality. The ruler of this world has blinded. And he blinds it through so many ways. We think the blinding is two demons hanging over your eyelids. No, it's your mind. Your mind has been blinded, so you are not able to see the simplicity of the gospel. You hear somebody who hears the gospel and understands and believes and receives, life is changed. And then you look at the other person who is objecting and objecting and objecting, the gospel is the same. And it is the best news you can ever get. And it is free. Yet people reject it. And you need to ask, why is it so? Okay. So the first thing is to live through your body. Second is to stop a man or a woman or a child from knowing Christ as Savior. And the third, if you know Christ as your Savior, is to stop you from effectively serving God with your body. Effectively serving God. Because, what did we hear? God leads us in triumph through Jesus Christ, and through us diffuses the knowledge. He doesn't want that. Okay, you accepted Christ. Now shut your mouth and sit down there. I will cause you to fall and fall and fall, that no knowledge of God will go through you. If anybody sees you, they will say, what kind of a Christian are you? I am better than you. No diffusing of knowledge of God. You are not a witness. You have no testimony. The knowledge of God is supposed to go through us, and the devil will stop you. Devil will stop you. So we have to, that's what the Bible says. We need to understand the wiles of the devil. What is he trying to do? Why is the warnings? Don't do this, because you become the host. You're hosting pests in your body. You're hosting beings that are contrary to your born-again nature, who are against God. You start hosting them. Because they have enticed you. Okay? So if it is flesh, the Bible says, crucify the flesh. But if it is demons, you need to expel, and then you need to resist. Okay? If you go to John chapter 3, Jesus explains the nature in an illustration. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Then in verse 8 he uses this illustration. It's incredible. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. He's telling us the truth of the spiritual realm. Now I can't see the wind. Today you can, everybody is silent. You can, the silence is beautiful because all the fans except two at the back, everything is off. So if you, you see the silence. But can you, if the fan is on, you can hear the sound of the fan, but you can never see the wind. And never see the wind. But the effects of the wind can be seen. Trees, leaves, even heavy wind and rain, the water slanting, your clothes moving, the effects of the wind. So the word spirit, pneuma, is the same word in both Hebrew and Greek for the wind. The same word. So God is telling us the truth. If you are born of the spirit and led by the spirit, you will know by the effects. If you're controlled by the demons, you will know the effects. You will know which way it is. You will know. You know by the effects. If you are under oppression, you will know. You try to read your Bible, you fall asleep. You know there is something wrong. You come to church and as soon as the message begins, you fall asleep. There's something wrong. Okay. These are issues. Will not get deeper, a little farther. The way the enemy operates, you need to realize there is a realm. You are all breathing. We are all breathing. We are inhaling and exhaling, but nobody can see it. But the very fact that you're alive is because you're breathing in and out. Like we were talking last week, you know, when our babies were very small, you know, few days, weeks, months old, a month and all that time. You know, we wake up so many times because when they are sleeping, it looks as if they are not breathing. All the mothers are smiling, okay? You panic and you start moving the child and realize, okay, this is alive. Because you don't even see it moving. And you panic, okay? You panic. So, you can't see the wind. But you can see the effects. So God says, both in the case of the Holy Spirit or unclean spirits. Holy, pure, or unholy, unclean. You can know by what they do. What they do. There's a very classic deliverance scene which is given in Mark 9. This is Jesus when he comes down the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, there was a man who had brought his son who had a demonic spirit. One of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, they should cast it out, but they could not." This is extreme case. Okay. This is not enticement. This is controlled. Now the boy can't even speak. Because that spirit which you cannot see is holding his tongue. Cannot speak. His vocal cords. He's held. Okay, so there are deaf spirits, dumb spirits, blind. All kinds of demons are there. There is something that is in the body. There is something in the spiritual. And this man had brought it over there. He answered and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Why is it that Jesus is getting upset? Because he said, no, if you believed and walk in obedience, these things would have left you. Deliverance is your right as sons of God. You should be walking free of oppression. They should be afraid of you, not the other way around. That's why he's getting upset. Okay. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, see, the demonic immediately will aggravate the situation. When he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Jesus will ask a question, typical physician questions. He asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." This is exactly what the doctor does with a patient. How long? Jesus is asking a spiritual question. How long has this spirit been basically in him? How long? He says, from childhood. Childhood. How long? From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. What is he trying to do? To burn him to death or to drown him? So what is happening? One parent is always occupied watching over this child. And when the demonic actually starts manifesting, they have to control them.
Okay, now what do they do in the medical science? They give them medications and dumb them down. They're like zombies walking around and you have no clue. There are millions and millions and millions of people who are on antidepressants. Because medical science can only go till the soul. They cannot get into the spirit. They have no clue what to do. So what do? They dump you down. Dump you down. Okay? Because they cannot. They don't know how to do it. It's not possible for them to do it. And then, yes, often, come further. So he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe. So he says, that's very big. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you believe, you can walk free from oppression today. All things are possible. Okay. Water outside the boat and water inside the boat is two different things. The boat sinks because the water is inside the boat. The devil inside and the devil outside are two different realities. Okay. And God says, the key is, if you believe, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, with tears, Lord, I believe, help my... So if you struggle with unbelief, cry out to him, Lord, I believe, but I struggle with unbelief. Struggle with unbelief. Let's go further. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he says he doesn't want a spectacle like today's pastors. Everybody wants a spectacle and then put it on YouTube, casting some demon out of some poor girl or something and make it viral. But Jesus is the other way. As soon as he saw the people coming, he immediately cast the demon out because he doesn't want a spectacle. Doesn't want a spectacle. Because we are always trying to protect the reputation, the privacy of a person. We value that person. We don't want that person's, no? Because people will go around with different things they will say. People do not realize whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He is actually better than most of the people who are coming to watch the spectacle. Because he has been completely set free. Mary Magdalene's hearing is better than the apostles. And she was possessed by seven demons. Yet when she's set free, she sits at his feet. She hears better. She is able to anoint him. She watches where he's buried. She's there on the resurrection Sunday morning. And after everybody leaves, she still waits. And she receives the gospel message that he is risen. All why? But that's not how people see. That's not how people see. But that's what actually happens when the Son sets you free. You are free indeed. So then he cries out. Jesus said, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Okay? This is how you learn deliverance. What did he say? You need discernment. Call the spirit by name. Commanded it to leave and gave a commandment. Don't come back again. Then spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly and came out of him. And he became as one dead. So many said he is dead. If you ever been, I've seen it happening so many times during deliverance. No, the person lies as if he is dead. He's dead. Sometimes it's a deceiving demon pretending that he has gone and you know it hasn't gone. No? So you will think, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the fellow gets up with thought that fellow having gone because he fooled you. He fooled you. So you have to have discernment to know this fellow has not said. He's just lying there trying to deceive you by pretending he's dead. But in this case, he had gone. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Ask the question, why could we not cast it out? Okay. Now we are going to look at the reasons as, how do I be free? Go to Matthew 17, 19 and 20, same miracle recorded in another place. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said, because of your unbelief. First thing. I told you. Mark 16, 17. Okay? Mark 16, 17. These signs will follow those who believe.
If you want these things to follow you, and the first thing he said is the hallmark of the kingdom, they will cast out demons. That's the first thing about the kingdom. Everything else, casting out demons and speaking in tongues are the first two things. Everything else is there in the Old Testament. The first thing he says, you will walk under liberty. You will learn how to resist him and cast him out. But for that you have to believe. If you don't believe, you will be in many areas controlled by them, and you may think you are free when you are not free. You may think you are free when you are not free. Okay. Because liberty has to be experienced. When you have not experienced liberty, you do not know what it is like. Okay. You do not know what it is like. So there are a lot of people who do not believe, and therefore what happens is they do not experience. Because everything in the kingdom of God is connected to faith. Do you believe what God has said? Because God will leave it to us. Let it be unto you according to your faith. Let it be unto you according to your faith. So the first thing is believe. Believe. What we are trying to teach in the church, all our churches, is bad. This is in so many ways a self-help book. You can walk in freedom so that you will become a blessing. Blessing. Okay, you are a blessing. I told you, we all begin life like Gianna, born as a baby, beautiful. All the babies are beautiful, loving, kind. No, they're neither loving nor kind. They're cute, all the babies. But honestly, if you put your emotions and everything away, they are just a big bee. That is a burden. They have nothing to give, everything to take. That is what they are, a burden. Okay. And growth basically means that as the baby starts growing, it should be taught to become less of a burden. And the first thing you teach that baby is to, as it grows, is to put away their toys. And because they are babies, they will ask for help. Come and help me. Sit down with the baby child and help. But after some time, stop doing it. So it learns being less of a burden. And as he keeps on growing, he becomes less of a burden. Learns to eat on its own, make his bed and everything. But still, all it has become is it has becoming less of a burden. It's still not a blessing. It becomes a blessing when it starts taking the burden off a little from the parents. Then it has to reach a point in life where it is not a burden at all and is completely a blessing. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a blessing and not a burden. And you cannot be a blessing unless you are freed from oppression. You cannot be. Like I said, if he cannot stop you from getting saved, he will stop you from serving God effectively. And through us, the knowledge of God doesn't go at all. Okay? So the whole process over here, he says, the first thing he says is that you need to realize these signs shall follow those who believe. There is the demonic. They are like the wind, and it will show there in your behavior. This is the kingdom of God. Let me ask you, what is the kingdom of God according to Romans 14? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. Let me ask you this question. Anybody here sitting the last 7 days who walked in peace and joy all the time, put up your hand. That means you're under oppression. But that is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. That is. It's got nothing to do with what is happening outside. The kingdom of God is within you. And we will prove by the end of the message how people will prove the kingdom of God can function in any situation. Any situation. Any and every situation. The kingdom of God is radical. It is powerful. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. Okay. So don't sit there and think, I don't need this message. This is for the unbeliever. No. Believers are oppressed. You are not demon possessed, but you are oppressed by the demons. The demons will oppress, and they use ignorance to oppress us. Ignorance to oppress us. So the first thing is, why couldn't we do it? He says, because of your unbelief. Second thing, Matthew 17 and verse 21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and
fasting. When the demonic becomes very, very resistant in you or in a loved one, you need to move from faith to fasting and prayer. You need to have a life of fasting and prayer. So let me ask this question. When Jesus said, leave, it left. Why did it leave? What does it tell about him? One, he had the faith. Second, he had a life of fasting. And third, he was praying all the time. That was his life. That was his life. So simply, we are not giving you rules or legalism or anything when you say at least 2024 is coming. 2024 is going to be tougher than 2023. Because that's what scripture says. As you go towards the end, it will become tougher. That does not mean it should be bad. Tougher does not mean bad. Okay? So, if you really wanna live an overcoming life, one of the first things you need to realize is, I'm going to start a discipline of fasting in my life. So we know every year, 25th lunch, we eat like there is no tomorrow. And then, then we go on a fast till 31st night. We go on a 7-day fast. Okay? But if you wanna fast, there are people who have been fasting for the last 50 days and all. People, it's up to you. But it has to be a lifestyle. Make fasting a lifestyle. But if you have any diseases, first rebuke it. If it's demonic, cast it out. And if you're still not well, go by your doctor's advice. How much should I fast? Don't take chances and then blame the pastor, because you should know your own body. Okay? You should could be fast. One of the pastors asked me last week, how long have you been fasting? I said, I fast a meal. How long have you been fasting? I said, around 7 years. Be fast, it's our life. And I got it from Elijah. Because one of the questions I asked is that, when you personally fed your servant, how come you gave him only 2 meals? And not didn't give him 3 meals. You could have ordered, given him 4 meals, snack and chai and everything you could have given him. But you didn't give him. You gave him only 2 meals. He said, why? Because he's going to face the demonic on Mount Carmel. He needed to fast. I'm training him to fast. I said, Lord, if you are training him, then why should I be behind? He's an old covenant prophet. I'm going to appropriate that lifestyle. Am I mandating it on anybody? No, I mandate it only for myself. And I make my wife's life very simple, because she doesn't have to worry about one meal. Okay. Because if you really believe Satan is going to be cast down, the demonic is increasing crazy, crazy. The kind of stuff that is happening wherein in Iowa, in the Capitol building, they put up Satan statue for Christmas and said, happy holidays and hail Satan. Think in 2000 years of Christendom, in which Christian country that would have been ever possible. Outwardly blatant. And the demonic thing that happened in the Senate cannot be even uttered over here. Inside the Senate, it was videotaped and put it on social media. You look at these things that is happening, and the drug addiction all around, the kind of demonic stuff that is happening. God says, I want you to diffuse the knowledge, my knowledge through you. Walk has overcome us. Walk in liberty. When they look at your liberty, they will want that. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. It is peace and joy. Righteousness that comes by faith, and peace and joy in any situation. So God is asking us. So the first thing is, you need to believe. You need to believe. Everything God has said in the word of God, I choose to believe. I don't have to experience it. But if the time comes, I believe I will experience. That is one of the things that broke me through with the underground church, where I believe everything written in this. If you can make seeing eyes blind, blind eyes see, you can make seeing eyes blind. Elisha did it, I can do it, and I did it. No, where they couldn't see me. Okay? Because you need to have everything that God has for you. Everything is shut down, borders are shut down, passport, so everything is shut down. Philip was taken in the spirit. He preached and he came back. Because if you don't believe, these things won't happen. It won't happen. You have to believe. You have to believe. Not it does have to come to pass. But when the eventuality comes, like this sun is rolling around, convulsing, forming, and Jesus looks at the man and says, if you believe, all things are possible. And then suddenly you realize, I don't believe. I'm struggling with faith. If Jesus is not there, or a servant of God is not there, what you lose is your deliverance. You lose your child. Okay. Lose your child. Okay. So we need to realize why faith is so important. Jairus' daughter died. And they came and told him, don't disturb the master, your child is dead. Immediately Jesus, don't fear. Only believe. Don't fear. Only believe. Only believe. Because we will realize when our back is against the wall, you will wish, I believed. I believed. So the first thing is believing. The second thing is having a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. A lifestyle, a discipline. That's why little children, I love them. They are into that. They have to be taught right now. It doesn't make any difference. You see, when you look at the prayer requests from the older ones will always write, help me to have a disciplined life. You know, the older it gets, it becomes more and more difficult to discipline yourself because flesh got its way for a long time. That's why this little one sitting over there, they may not understand. It doesn't matter. Wake up in the morning, read your Bible, pray, praise, worship, fast whenever you want to. What are you teaching them? You're teaching a discipline which will be of good use when they actually come to encounter God. A discipline. Because these disciplines are very difficult to inculcate when you get older. Because your flesh is also growing in another direction. Okay. You want to crucify your flesh? The flesh says, try me. I will crucify you. Okay. It's okay. So what is the devil trying to do? He is trying to enslave, entice, enslave. From enticement, it becomes enslavement. Now, when it becomes enslavement, a desire that was there, which goes into sin, now that is controlling you. That is what we call an addict. Okay, all kinds of addicts are there. Addict. Okay, addict. All kinds of addicts are there. Alcoholic addicts, drug addicts, sex addicts, porn addicts, movie addicts, 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 addicts. The difference between addiction and the other is this. You have seen people, no? Who drinks and then he says, I'm giving up. And he gives it up. So there was his flesh, but he exercised control over his flesh. But there is another person, he wants to give up, but he's not able to give up. You know, he has moved from into addiction. There's a demon in control. He has been enslaved. Now he's not going to be free until the demon is cast out. Demon is cast out. Okay. Demon is cast out. So if you listen to that message for the pastor's concert, Kharagpur, I said you have to deal with desire. And what you deal with desire is learn right from the beginning. You are believing parents, almost all of you are believing parents with little children. Teach them self-control. That's how you handle desire. Demonic will have very little effect on you because you have learned to exercise self-control. That's the first thing. Daniel comes to Babylon and says, this purpose in his heart, I'm not going to eat. What is that? Self-control. That's a fruit of the Spirit that holds everything together. But if you do not exercise self-control right from the beginning, what happens? You see, the most important part of your system in your soul is your will. Your will becomes weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And you just go down. But when you exercise your self-control, your will becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. You are able to say no. Able to say no. Okay, so instead of going 8 steps down to death, the first step itself, you handle it. You say no. And that, how you empower your will is by fasting. Every time you fast, your will gets stronger and stronger towards God. You get stronger. It empowers your will. Because we are talking about walking in liberty, walking in freedom. So what is addiction? Okay, now there are addictions which people won't talk about. But there are also addictions which are very respectable. Shopping. People do not realize. Respectable for the one who is shopping, disrespectful for the one who is paying. Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. If I were to say the same thing about alcohol or sex, nobody would laugh. Why did you laugh for shopping? Though it is an equally destructive addiction. Because you think it is respectful, therefore it is okay. But you don't realize behind it is the same demon. Gambling. Shopping and gambling has killed, destroyed more families, driven them into poverty than many other things. Yet we laugh because we think it is respectable without realizing the demonic. Compulsive gamblers, compulsive shoppers. And it doesn't matter in the Indian epos how righteous you are. Yudhishthira will still gamble his wife away. Why? Because he's a compulsive gambler. He will gamble Draupadi away. Did you see? Because he has no control over it. Okay. So we need to understand how they work. They entice, they enslave, they harass. No, harass, no. You hear stories, no? Like, you know, the man comes home, something happens, and he just loses it. When he loses, man or woman loses it, you suddenly look at and says, something strange happening. Okay, later he'll come and say, or she'll come, sorry and all. But at that point, it was not that man. It was a different personality that was controlling. You know what? He or she needs deliverance. In their rage, they will beat up, they will break, they will do all kinds of things. And that is not flesh. That is not flesh. That is flesh that has joined with the demonic. With the demonic. Okay. Please understand, these are real things. That is how you do a self-diagnosis. God doesn't want to put anybody to shame. He says, you come to me and to my spirit, I will show you where you are afflicted, where you are oppressed, so that you can be free and walk in liberty. No? There are compulsive gossips. They cannot help but gossip. And it is not natural. It's not the flesh. It's a demonic thing. A demonic thing. And if you ask, where is the demon? It's on the tongue. Because that is a demon that loves gossiping. It lives through your tongue. Demons torment. When you are tormented, you believers, I'm talking about tormented. God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. God loves everybody, but God doesn't love me. Or, I don't think I am saved. Tormented. Can you imagine? You are saved and you are tormented with this thought. Am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? It is not normal. It is demonic. So you have to look at these things in the next 2 weeks. No, let us enter into 2024 in freedom, in liberty. Because the Bible says there is torment in fear. But perfect love casts away all fear. Let me digress a little. Okay. How do these ones get in? Okay. You all got in through the doors. Nobody came through the window. Doors. Okay. There has to be a doorway. There are certain doorways. Okay. Where demons get in from. In Matthew 11, verse 6, this is what Jesus says. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Okay? That's why we keep, why do we keep telling, don't get offended, don't get offended, don't get offended, 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 offended. Because offense is a big doorway. Offense is a big doorway. That's why Jesus in Luke 17 will talk about offense and talks about forgiving. Offense and unforgiveness are big, big doorways. You see, when Satan was created, he was created as one of those unbelievable archangels. Perfect in beauty, perfect in wisdom, everything. Pride came in. In his pride, he lifted himself. When he lifted himself to the level of God, God pushed him down. And you know what happened? He got offended. And he's still offended. Still offended. And everything the enemy does is because of offense. Okay, because of offense. So that's why we have to guard our hearts. Proverbs 18 and verse 19 says this. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Have you tried? No, when there are situations, usually I will tell, no, leave them alone. I will tell, leave them alone. And so why? So just pray, leave them alone. I said, they're offended, so leave them alone. Let them calm down. Let them come to their senses. Let them think. And once they've got over their offense, only they can be restored. As long as offense is there, you leave it. It is not possible. Bible says a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. So that is the doorway. Cain worked hard. Time of harvest, brought his fruits and vegetables. Abel brought his offering. God accepted Abel's, did not. He was offended. He was offended. Okay, so these things happen at home. Okay, at home. Okay, we'll say offense, jealousy, these hatred, bitter. These are all companion spirit, but it begins with offense. Begins with offense. Okay. Saul was offended that when the people sang, they gave more credit to David. And he became jealous. Offended. These are doorways. God says forgive. He says if you don't forgive, what will happen? You will be tormented. You know how many tormented people are there in their minds? Still thinking the same person, same thing over and over and over again. Why are you tormented? Because you refuse to let go. Let go. Okay. Let me give you how the enemy gives you. Okay. Because when he entices and he enslaves, what you have is torment. The opposite of it is peace. Righteousness. Peace. Peace with God. Peace with man. Matthew 18 and verse 34. His master was angry and delivered him to torturers or tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. How long will he be tormented? Until you forgive from your heart. He will allow you to be tormented. Now who opened the door? You did. You did. You did. Okay. And what does offense do? Look at Genesis 4:4, the first offended man. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. You know what? They are wanderers. They wander from one church to another church. They never find rest anywhere. Because they haven't dealt with an issue. And with that issue, there's a demon attached. They need to be delivered. They wander, they wander, they wander, they wander, they wander. Wanderers, isolated lives they love. Like fugitives they love. And you're not supposed to live like that. No. So just check, where do I fall? Okay. Where do I fall? Okay. 1 Samuel 16, let me show you. Okay, 1 Samuel 16. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord, meaning God allows, okay, from the Lord, troubled him. This is what is happening to Saul. Why did the, what was the open door? The open door was rebellion. God told him to do something, he didn't do that. So what does rebellion do? Rebellion opens a door. So don't rebel. When God says something, just obey. Don't rebel, because if you rebel, you open a door for the rebelling spirits to come in. Now what is happening? A distressing spirit from the Lord is troubling you. What did they say? Yeah, the next verses. They said, let's call it. There is a young man, verse 23. Okay, let's have verse 23. They find there is a young man called David. So it was whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, that is a distressing spirit. David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Okay? He's not delivered. He's not delivered.
because of the anointing that was resting upon another man, whenever that man was there and he was singing, that fellow left. But when that man left, the fellow came back. Okay? That happens to a lot of people. When they come to church, they sit under the anointing, they feel good. When they go out, the fellow comes back. He waits outside for you. Okay? Now, if you learn what you learn here today, when you go out and you are full of God, that fellow will realize, "Are bakra to, haath se nikal gayi. He's delivered. Now I can't. I have to look for somebody else here." He's always looking for a body. Now fast forward, okay, to 1 Samuel 18. See the same situation with the difference. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Saul was very angry and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul, he was offended. He's jealous. So Saul eyed David from that day. And it happened on the next day, the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul and he prophesied inside the house. Now this is a false prophecy. Okay? Demonic prophecy happens in all the temples here. You know that. Okay? So now Saul is also prophesying with the distressing spirit. So all his servants must have been distressed by the prophecy. Because, okay. The distressing spirit from God came upon Saul and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was suspicion. Things have changed. Now things have become worse because even more wicked ones have come in. Earlier it was distress, jealousy. Now it is anger and murder. That fellow will come back with more and is sitting with a spear. And what happens? Verse 11. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. What happened here? What happened over here? Did you see how it is progressing? Yes. The progress of the demonic. And that's what happens to people. Okay. Because they don't understand. They are not fast. It's in the flesh. But they're not exercising their will. They realize they got an issue. They're not fasting. They're not praying. They're not seeking help. And the demonic gets in. And now the wife or the husband or the child, whatever the case may be, has to walk on tiptoes. Because you never know when the spear will come out. Spear will come out. Because that's how. You think this is only in the East. One of the most countries in the world where women are battered is France. Battered. But they don't call the police because trying to save their marriages. The world is full of battered wives and children. Why? Because there's a demonic involved. The demonic involved. What do they need? They need deliverance. Okay, they need deliverance. Okay, they need deliverance. This is how it works. So please, okay. And the other word that we use is, after they take over, they will compel you. They will drive you. And now medical science has a word. It's called OCD. Obsessive compulsive disorder. And if you read on OCD, there is no solution. They say this is lifelong. Without Jesus, it's lifelong. With Jesus, there is deliverance. Okay. If you look at the millions of people who've been diagnosed with OCD, but deliverance is there in the name of Jesus. Because for this purpose, the Son of Man came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No? So you will see rage, his case. What about revenge? Do you think about revenge? What about Ahithophel? Fellow was sitting inside, waiting, biding. It's very calm, very quiet. There are people like that. We'll say, "Oh, what a celebrated person. He's liberated." No, there's a fellow inside with a dagger waiting for the right moment. When the moment comes, he's decided to destroy David. But that man was anointed and God heard his prayer. So instead, what did the demon do? The demon that could not kill David killed Ahithophel. It killed the host. He hung himself. So you need to realize to where it will take you if you are not careful. Because all suicides, most suicides, if not all suicides, are not normal. There is a demon behind it. The demon of death behind it. So we have to be very, very careful. Okay, rage, revenge, depression, frustration. "No, I'm frustrated." So the question is, what do you do? You know what you're doing? Binge eating, binge drinking, watching movies after another, you do not. It is compulsive. It's an addiction. It's a demon that is driving you because you're frustrated. People do not realize. After a point, the flesh goes to the demonic. Okay. So Jesus will always come and ask, do you want to be made whole? 38 years sitting over there. Do you want to be made whole? Why should he ask? Because some people get so comfortable. The parasite and the host have become buddies now. If you try to dive it out, mat jana, tumhara bin main kya karu? What do you do? Do you want to get well? 38 years. What a question. Okay. 18 years walking like this. You got so used to it that when you are straightened, you don't know how to walk. Because this has become your default setting. People walk depressed, 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 depressed. And that has become normal for them. But the kingdom of God calls it abnormal. That is not the norm. The norm is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. So there is a clash of kingdoms. It's a clash of kingdoms. The question is, what do you want to do? Do you know gluttony is demonic? See, these are respectable sins. Okay. Demons, unclean spirits, they defile you. Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and conscience are defiled. I told you my testimony, right? When I got saved, the day I got saved, something happened. 3 days later, my friend said, what happened to you, James? Because your language has changed. You don't use obscenity anymore. And I didn't know. I had an absolutely defiled tongue. And it was not normal. It was not normal. I told you I had issue with language. One, I didn't know any language to speak properly. Second, I wasn't confident. But when I spoke obscenity, I was fluent in every language. You know what it was? It was and my conscience was never bothered. Never bothered. It was demonic. One of the first things God did when he saved me was he took it off and he didn't even realize. Others realized. That is how they realized I was saved. Because they didn't know what salvation was. They only realized something radical has happened to this guy because his language has changed. Okay. So defilement. They defile you. Your thoughts. Your tongue. Your body. Jude 1:22 and 23 it says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. Don't be compassionate with everybody. Make a distinction. But others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. To some you can show compassion. But to others, he says, use a 21 feet long pole to pull them out because they are defiled. You get too close, they will defile you too. Be very careful about them. Defiling spirits. Your mind is defiled. Your conscience. Do you know now next month I will have a very large youth and pastors conference in another part of India. But every time when you have meetings like that, later when the young, especially young people come for counseling, you know what they say? Pastor, I struggle. I say, what do you struggle with? When I am trying to worship, very defiling, unclean thoughts come. I said, it's demonic. It's demonic. It's not normal. It's demonic. You need deliverance. Let's pray. Let's surrender. Let's cast it out. Okay. A lot of people go through with all kind of filthy things starts coming into their mind when they are sitting in church, when they are trying to pray, when they are trying to read. What is it? Defiling spirits. Defiling spirits. For this reason, the Son of Man came that he might destroy the works of the devil. Read homework. Ephesians chapter 5, 3 to 6.
But fornication, all uncleanness, defiling uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you. See, this touches the body. This touches the soul. This touches the spirit. All makes you unclean. Your body, your soul, and your spirit makes you unclean. All three, unclean. Let it not be even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, a foolish talking, a coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And because of this, verse 7 will say, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. God says, don't get fooled. Your sanctification is God's will. In Thessalonians, that's what he will say. This is the will of God, your sanctification. And there are demons that fight it because they don't like clean things. They don't like clean things. They don't like clean things. Okay. They love dirt. They love dirt. And God is pure. He is holy. So they will fight it. They will fight it. So we have to be very, very careful about this, because why did Jesus come? Not only to deliver us from the penalty of sin, but to take us through this process of deliverance, sanctification, so that we walk in freedom, we walk in liberty. So deliverance, always remember, the first step is usually the most difficult step, right? But you can't take the first step, you can't take the second step, and you cannot skip the first step in God's. The first step is James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God. Humble yourself, submit to God. The minute we hear that word submit, our mind tunes off, because there's a demon with the switch over there. Submit, he immediately switches off. After that, he doesn't hear anything more. But God says, submit to God. Then only you can resist the devil. You cannot resist the devil without submission, because he's a rebel. So you are a rebel and you try to resist the devil. He says, why are you fighting me? We are brothers. We are twins. So God says the opposite. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Okay? Please remember, almost everybody who was healed or delivered by Jesus either came on their own or they were brought by somebody. Very rare cases, like in the Samaritan or the Gadarenes, where Jesus went to somebody or the man with 38 years. But every other case, they had to come to Jesus. So submit to God, humble yourself and go to God. Say, I have a problem. Lord, I have a problem. I have a problem. Be honest. Be honest. Okay? Don't throw the report at the radiologist. He just did his job. How dare you say all these things are in me? Okay. John chapter 4, 18 and 19. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Honest. You are a prophet. What you said is absolutely true about me. Married 5 times, divorced 1st time, now living with the 6th one. You're absolutely right. No denial. No excuses. No justification. Nothing. You are a prophet. You pinned it. This is who I am. Because if you are not honest, there is no deliverance. There's no deliverance. Okay. If you try to save your dignity here, you will lose it all there. If you're willing to lose your dignity there, it will be guarded there. It is scripture. Everything that is hidden will be exposed. And everything that is exposed here and covered by the blood will be hidden there. Go to God. Humble yourself, submit, go to God and say, Lord, do an entire MRI scan from head to toe. Show me who I am. I want to be free. I've only heard about it. I want to be free. Want to be free. No, our children, remember our children? No, we pushed them around in the tricycle, and then one day their feet could be the liberty of knowing you can pedal on yourself. And then one day when you could get on that two-wheeler, you're moving from liberty to liberty. Right? Unless you use these examples, we don't understand what liberty is, because liberty is also relational. Unless you experience it, you do not know what liberty is. Okay? And that's what God is trying to do. God says, be honest. And then God says, repent and renounce and confess. Three things. Proverbs 28:13 and 1 John 1:9. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. There are three things. You have to confess, forsake, and you will have mercy. And 1 John says beautifully in 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is it so important? Because unrighteousness is where the enemy hangs on. Are you getting it? Unrighteousness is where the enemy hangs on, and righteousness is where the spirit sticks on. That's how it works. So God wants us to cleanse us of all unrighteousness so that there is no ground for the enemy to stay in our lives. Okay? You are taking ground back. This ground belongs to my God. Belongs to God. So God says first, he says repent. Renounce, forsake, and confess. Please understand this. All these three. Repent, renounce, and confess. Feelings has got nothing to do with it. It's an act of will. People think it's got to do with feelings. Feelings are there in the same direction. Good. But if not, it doesn't matter. It is an act of will. Forgiveness is an act of will. I choose to forgive. And you open your mouth and you say that, I choose to renounce. I choose to repent. Basically, simple meaning is to turn. You're going in this direction to the liquor shop. You turn around. You turn around. Okay. So you turn around. You repent. And you give it up. And you confess it. You have to confess it, because the power of confession is this. As long as you haven't confessed it, opened your mouth and spoken it to God, and only if necessary to man. Most things you can manage with God. It's easier to manage with God than to man. The man won't understand. He will ask you 15 questions. God won't ask you any questions because he understood what you didn't understand also. So it's easier to go to God. But if it doesn't work, sometimes God will say, go to man. So the Bible will say, confess your sins to one another and you shall be healed. That is also there in scripture. Okay? So you need to realize, why is confession so important? Because everything that is not confessed and covered and cleansed by the blood is still there living. It's in the realm of the dark. The realm of the dark. He has rights over it. You see, the devil cannot stand before God and lie. Can only lie to us. How does he accuse us before God? With truth. With truth. You may only see something. Oh, I saw Roshan. Oh, I'm sorry, Roshan. Okay. I saw Roshan. He was standing by the wine shop. You only saw that and you repeated it. The devil says, I saw him in the wine shop. He bought a quarter bottle. It was whiskey and this was the price he paid. And his wife doesn't know. His wife doesn't know. So when he accuses you before God, he's got all the data. Okay. So God says, confess. So when he doesn't know what has happened over on earth, he runs, says, God, do you know this guy, Roshan? Yes, he did this. God says, no, he didn't. He didn't, yeah. Why?
He said, look at my son. Did you see him on his knees? He's confessed. And my blood has covered him. There is nothing like that. No record of this in heaven. He is free of unrighteousness. Okay.
That's how you walk in liberty. That's how you walk in liberty. And God is telling us how to walk in liberty. Okay.
Then, next thing, forgive. Forgiveness is a huge, huge open door. Unforgiveness is a huge open door. Okay. Forgive, let go. Forgive others and self.
and God. Sometimes people are angry with God. I'm not saying God needs your forgiveness, but you need yourself to forgive God. Because you cannot have that in your mind and then relate to God properly. If you do not forgive your wife, you know you are not able to relate to your wife properly. Or anybody. So if you are so angry with God, mad with God because you did not do this for me, you know what? You will not be able to relate with God properly. It's not affecting God at all. It's affecting you. So you need to forgive others. You need to forgive yourself. Some people forgive everybody but says, I can never forgive myself for what I did. God says, forgive yourself. Forgive. And forgive God. You go through this, you will suddenly realize what liberty is. What really liberty is. Then, as God said in Mark 9:23, you need to believe. If you can believe, all things. Okay, the first thing is this. It's very difficult to convince people that you can walk in liberty in any situation. You can have the peace and the joy of God guarding your heart and mind. If you have any doubts, go home and read the book of Philippians and then study where is he writing from this. How can he tell us rejoice in the Lord? And again I say rejoice. And the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind. I know how to abase and abound. I can do here. Wait, where are you? Lying in chains. What liberty? What liberty? What liberty? Okay. So these things are important. And above all, Joel chapter 2 verse 32. It shall come to pass. Whoever. Now take that out and put your name there. That James, when he calls upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. When we come to church, we are come to Mount Zion. There shall be deliverance. You may have to do one more thing. Renounce all ties, personal or family, to the occult. Lord of people have no clue why are they going through what they are going through. It's got to do with forefathers, ancestors. Okay. Up to four generations, God said. That is 30 people. At least 30 people up the line. And one of them had to be an idolater for you to be under trouble. Of course, we have the positional, if any man is in Christ Jesus, all things have passed away, all things have all become new. The question is, has it become? If you can live in that, fine. But the problem is you cannot live in that. It's a process. And a lot of people are struggling because there is occultic background. The devil never gives anything free. You want him to do something, you need to give him something in return. So ancestors have given descendants over. And you do not realize what is happening to you. So you personally have to stand there and renounce any personal tie, especially, no? Horoscope. People do all that astrology, horoscope, all kind of occult has gone mainstream now. Get out of it. If you have done it, ask God for forgiveness. Renounce any tie of it. We are not getting into details because we don't have the time. But these are all. And family. Especially Freemasonry. There are Freemasons up the line. Especially with Christian families. The East India Company came to India to make money and they were all Freemasons. That is why they banned missionary activity in India. If they had been real Christians in 300 years, half of India would have been Christians. They did not allow missionary activities here because they were all Freemasons. Missionaries had to be smuggled in. And that's why wherever you go, any city you go, you see lodges everywhere. And the first ones to get in were ancestors who were Christians. And the lodge, there are diabolic things that happen where you make secret vows and hand over subsequent generations. Break all ties. Stand there and say no. Then there is natural familiar spirits that pass down. I'll tell you, My grandfather, I don't know beyond my grandfather. My grandfather, my father, my father's brothers, my cousins, siblings, the men I'm talking about. Almost everyone I know is alcoholic except me. Everyone drinks. The only one who escaped is me. I'm the only one who doesn't drink. It's been passed down, this familiar spirit. So certain things, that's why it is called a familiar spirit. Passes down from family to family. You're very familiar with it. Okay. So you need to break it. Because that is what God is doing with salvation. He's taking, breaking the family ties and giving you a new family where God is the head. A lot of things people struggle with, you need to. That is why you fast, you pray, you seek, and God will show you. Because the whole thing is that God wants to restore. He wants to repair. Go to Acts chapter 19. We'll read from verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, miracle itself is unusual. Okay. Now, unusual miracles. What is that? That even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Okay? Now go further. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, okay, now this is not a, it sounds humorous, but you have to look at the real thing. They understand authority. They know whether you are saved or not. You can't fool them. You can fool your pastor, but you cannot fool them. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now realize, if you go back to 16, if you go over there, okay, if you look at it, this one man and the evil spirit, one man, evil spirit leaped upon them. How many of them? How many sons of Sceva? Okay, go up. Yeah. Okay. Go up. Okay. And then, one man, one evil spirit overpowered seven of them. Okay. It's not normal. It's not normal. And people do that. Even people, normal Christians, when they have a demonic fit, will suddenly do that, and they realize, later they will realize, how did I lift this up? That's the one, 20 kilo weight is lifted up. Oh, where did this power come from? It's not normal. Okay. And then prevail over them. They fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them. And what happens when deliverance takes place? Look at the principle. When deliverance takes place, first thing, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is magnified in your life, in our life. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deed. It brought liberty to those who believed. So they also came and they started confessing and telling their deeds. They also said, oh, we don't want to be caught in this. We also did this in the beginning. We also did this. They are all confessing. And verse 19. Many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So as a result, what happened? The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Take it personally. Go back. We are finishing the year. Go back to your home and ask Lord, show me stuff here which I need to get rid of. Get rid of. Because that one thing may be stopping your breakthrough. Because you did not even realize you brought something that is demonic into your house. People go on all kind of to visits and from Africa and from the Middle East and from the Southeast. They bring dragons and antique things and all without realize these were all used for the demonic. Don't go shopping and hang it on your wall. You will realize the very thing that has put on the wall has become a wall against you. Because they have power. They have power. You brought it in. You brought it in. Because out there in the Gentile culture, everything is connected with religion. And there are powers. And they blind you. They oppress you. They harass you. So you suddenly see what is happening over there.
Everything changes. Everything changes. So God says today, first thing, next 2 weeks, recap everything. Learn to walk with Jesus. That's what faith does. Faith means you walk with Jesus. You listen to Jesus. You do what he tells you to do. Very simple. Walk with Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Do what he tells you. In the process, you know what happens? John 15 verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You become clean. Ephesians 5 verse 18 to 21. Next thing. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the, you are clean. The problem with the other fellow, he was empty. Now the word has cleansed you. That's not enough. Fill yourself. Ask the Spirit of God, fill me, Lord. Continuously fill me. How do you know you are filled? Your language changes. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, you will have music. It's not like the nursery rhyme, but true, you'll have music wherever you go. You'll be always singing. You'll be always singing. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart. This is one of the first songs I learned when I got saved 40 years ago. Making melody in your heart. Making melody. You don't even know these songs. But I didn't also know it was, I did not even know this was from Ephesians chapter 5. Okay. Because that is a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're clean. You're filled. And through you, what goes? God diffuses the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now to the final text for today. The practical. This is theory. See the practical what happened. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. My favorite chapter. Then the multitude rose up. Why did the multitude rise up? Because a deliverance took place. Whenever deliverance takes place, the enemy will start inciting the population. As long as there is no deliverance, he leaves you alone. Okay? Immediately the multitude rose up. Together against them, the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison. That's called maximum security, okay? It's inner prison. Fastened their feet in there, in the stocks. This is their actual situation. This is where they are. Stripped, beaten, bleeding. Thrown into prison, feet locked up. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Why? Because they are clean and they are full. They are clean and they are full of the Holy Spirit. They are clean. So your situation doesn't matter. The kingdom of God manifests itself more powerfully in these kind of situations. Because when something is absolute, a room is absolutely dark, if you light one matchstick, suddenly you see the light very carefully, clearly. In that midnight hour. That's why it's all very clearly written. Midnight hour. It's a spiritual connotation. When darkness was at the highest, the light is glowing. There are two people. They are praying and they are singing. They are singing hymns. They are clean and they are full of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Bible says? And the prisoners were listening to them. Please understand, all around where we live and go, there are only prisoners. Prisoners. Prisoners of the devil. They are in bondage, enslaved in their sin. They have no clue the Savior has come. They have no clue there is liberty. They are enslaved. So what are these prisoners doing? They are listening to what we sing. They are listening to our words. Because liberty or the knowledge of God can be diffused only by from our lips. The question is, what do they hear? What do they hear? What do the other prisoners hear? In your office. In your school. In your college. Wherever you are placed. Or even in your home. What do they hear? What do the neighbors hear? Do they hear a song? The prisoners were listening. Not only was the prisoners listening,
God was listening. God, because if God doesn't listen, all that is pointless. God was listening, because verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake. Why? Why did the power of God come in? Because God was listening. And the Bible says, the foundations of the prison were shaken. Take it as a prophetic word. Lord, if I believe what I've heard today, and if I practice what you have told, the foundations of the prison in which I have been locked in for years will be shaken. Will be shaken. And not one, two. The Bible says, immediately all the doors were opened. Doors that have been closed in your life for years. Doors of opportunity. Doors to evangelize. Doors to see into heaven. All these doors are suddenly opened. If you believe. What about the people? Everyone's chains were loosened. This is what happens when you believe. If you believe, God says, all things are possible. All things are possible. But it will take determination. You should be willing to fight. You should be willing to fight. You should be willing to accept God's diagnosis. I have a problem. I have a problem. I have a problem. Lord, I need deliverance. Whatever your problem is, I don't know. God knows, you know. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The first step is the difficult step. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Submit to God and resist the devil. Not submitting to God, to his word, to his spirit. You cannot resist the devil. Because if you do, he will say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? Who are you? I don't know you. I don't have to listen to you. You are a rebel. I am a rebel. I don't have to listen to you. Submit to God. Surrender. Shall we stand up this morning? Remember, even the most anointed persons in the old covenant could go down under oppression and wanted to kill themselves. Elijah said, I want to die. And he hasn't even finished his task. Depression can be very powerful. The man who brought fire from down 3 days later wants to die. More people die today than any time in history from suicide. Because these demons are driving them into it. He wanted to die. When Jacob thought Joseph was dead, the spirit of death got into him. And he was practically bedridden for the next 21, 22 years. Good for nothing. Who are you, Israel? What are you doing? Nothing. Why? Because he had been pinned down by these demons until he hears Joseph is alive. And the Bible says he arose. And Israel's story continues. So there are many who are saved, but there is a big blank over there because they have been pressed down by the demonic. And God is not able to continue the story that he began in them because they live and walk as if Jesus is dead. He's not dead. He's alive. And alive forevermore. The question is not that. The question is he alive for you and me? So this morning, if you want to be free, you submit yourself to God and say, here I am. I want deliverance. I want to be set free. I don't want to walk like this, depressed, discouraged. My outer, I look into Acts chapter 16 and say, Lord, I see the unbelievable becoming believable over there. Who can act like this? Only a true servant of God. He is free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So just first step today. Make only the first step. Just open your mouth and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I surrender. I surrender, Lord. My life. My past.
my present, my future. I do not know, Lord, what all has been constraining me. But you know. I release my life into thy hands. Take over, Lord. Father, I take authority in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Everyone, Lord, who's prayed from their heart, command every demonic chain to be broken now in Jesus' name. Every demonic entity that has been holding them back, maybe for years together, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. The spirit of depression, spirit of discouragement, the spirit of death, the spirit of barrenness. Whatever you do, never fruit becomes fruitful. It comes so close and slips away. I command that spirit to leave in Jesus' name. You stealers of God's children, their destiny. I bind you today in the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave in Jesus' name. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Your children will experience liberty, Lord. They will walk from liberty to liberty. And they will be conformed from glory to glory. And they will experience in 2024, even if it is the toughest year, the greatest victories of Father. For if God is for us, then who can be against us? We lift you up. We lift you up. Jesus, 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 we lift you up. We lift you up. And Father, I commit every person here, born and the unborn babies, every individual, every bachelor, spinster, every family, every household, around the world listening, and I speak your deliverance into their lives, Lord. And I pray, Father, they will surrender, they will commit themselves, and walk in that liberty each day, Father. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. As your servant, I bless your people in your name. May the mighty hand of God rest upon each one. Let them experience the anointing and the power of God upon their lives. Things that have been tarrying, let there be a speeding, Lord. Let them pursue, overtake, and recover all that the enemy has stolen from them, Lord. Empower them. Let them set their face like a flint towards heavenly Jerusalem, Lord. Let no one quit or draw back, oh Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. But for it all, Father, we give you the glory, the honor, the power, the praise. It is all yours and yours alone, oh Father. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. Amen. Amen.